Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us today along the journey. Roger, we are kicking off a four-part series here, Fridays in August, and we've titled it God's B-Team, Fascinating Stories of Forgotten People.
Yeah, all of us know what we may call the A-Team of God. You know, the Noah, the Davids, the Abrahams. I mean, the volumes of pages are written about these men, great characters in our Bible. We know about the Lord. There's just people who the Bible kind of stands upon because of their character and their lives. But with all of them, there were people around them that helped them. Some of them were not even told their names in the Bible. And they play very important roles in faith and conviction and getting people where God wants them to be. That's a fascinating, you know, question sometimes. Why are some people named? Why are some people not named? I think particularly in the New Testament, when God gives us a name, it's kind of like a living footnote. You know, when we do research, we see a footnote as a reference, we can check that out. Well, back then, when they hear about somebody and there's his name, they could go see him and talk to him, and that's the credibility of the story. But other times, the name is not given. And we're kind of scratching our heads about such things as that. But in all of that, there's still wonderful, wonderful lessons about these great lives that love the Lord.
People who lived centuries ago, and yet on an ordinary Friday here in 2021, some fascinating stories from which we can learn some really valuable lessons. This first one takes us back in the Old Testament to 2 Kings Chapter 5. Now, we know the name of a couple of the major characters, and we'll get into that, but we're going to zero in on a little girl, as she is described, and fascinatingly, we don't even know her name. And so, Roger, let me kind of read a few verses, the beginning of the story, and then we'll see what we can learn from this little girl. And before we're done, we'll round off the story with some application for us. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1 introduces us to a man named Naaman. He was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." Roger, we don't even know this little girl's name, but what can we learn?
Well, first of all, she's the hero of the story. It will be the Lord through the prophet that actually heals Naaman, but the voice of this girl is what brings this out. Let's begin with just noticing some things, and her account really just is in verse 3 and verse 4. There's just verse 3, and there's just a couple things that we learn about her. First of all, it's called her a little girl. She's young. There's an age factor there. And right there, somebody may discount her because you're just a kid. What do you know? Secondly, she's captive. She was taken prisoner. She's taken against her will. She's not in Syria on vacation. She's not there as a foreign exchange student. She's there against her will. She was taken there. And thirdly, she's away from home, likely away from mom and dad and the setting and the surroundings, the Jewish religion, all the things that she would have known, she's away from. And then on top of this, the one we're going to be reading about, Naaman, he is the captain of the army that captured her, and he has leprosy. What a great time and occasion for her to say, I'm glad you got it. I hope you die because you took me captive. You hurt our land. But that's not what happens. There are three things that come out that's remarkable here. First of all, we see that she cared. She cared enough to speak to Naaman's wife. And that began the wheels rolling with all this. If she didn't care, then Naaman likely would have died with his leprosy. Secondly, she had the courage to speak. She is a foreigner. She's a little girl. She's a captive. Why should I even listen to you? Why should I even believe you? But she had the courage to speak out. And then thirdly, she had the conviction. She says in verse 3 that if Naaman could be in Samaria where the prophet was, he would cure him. He would. She's confident of what God could do. And so there is the idea of caring, the idea of courage, and the idea of conviction.
The prophet she's talking about, of course, is Elisha, a successor to Elijah, the great prophet. And we don't at this point in 2 Kings know as many amazing things about Elisha, certainly as we do Elijah, but we know that he has been able to miraculously, through the Lord, provide for those in desperate need. There's been a son that has been raised. There is stew that has been purified. It is evident for those with eyes to see and ears to hear that the Lord is with Elisha. And what I love about this little girl is she's gone through hard times, no doubt. I mean, the language that is used there is she was carried off when the Syrians had raided her home. And so most of us can only imagine how terrifying that would be to be a little girl or a little boy and to have some foreign army raid your home and carry you off. But hard times have not led her to a lack of faith. She believes still, despite the fact she's going through these hard times, she believes that if the prophet of the Lord were here, he could heal even leprosy. And so let's read the rest of this story and see what to take away for us on an ordinary Friday here in 2021. We'd left off with Naaman going to the king. Naaman goes with permission, taking with him 10 talents, I should say, of silver, an incredible amount of silver. One talent was about 75 pounds. He brings essentially 750 pounds of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. You can imagine this procession as he is marching in the direction of Elisha. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes, saying, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." It's interesting. The little girl believes what the king in Samaria doesn't. The king is shaken by this, thinking that, well, the king of Syria is just picking a fight with me. But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he said to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me that he may know there is a prophet in Israel." And you can read the rest of the story. You know that Naaman is hesitant to listen because, of course, Elisha's going to tell him to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And if you do, your flesh shall be restored. Roger, everywhere I look, there are people who are struggling to believe. Naaman struggles to believe. You mean I've got to go wash in this dirty little Jordan River? The king in Samaria, the king of God's people, is struggling to believe. But this little girl, I think accurately you described her as the hero of this story.
And what's interesting, you know, another thought to this is when she says the prophet will cure him, she's thinking that here is a foreigner. God will extend his blessings to a foreigner.
Yeah.
She's not so narrow as thinking, well, he's our God. He's not your God. He's to help us. He's not going to help you. But she doesn't believe that. And she understands the universal nature and mercy of God, that God is good to all people. And she saw that.
You know, we don't know her name. There is one other little group of people whose names we don't know, but I think they ought to be mentioned as well here. As Naaman is kind of flying off the handle once he hears what Elisha, the prophet of the Lord, tells him to do, he asks, aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? He turns around. He's in a rage. But verse 13 of 2 Kings 5 tells us, his servants came near. Now, we don't know their names. Perhaps this little girl has traveled along with them. We're not told specifically. We just know his servants speak up and say, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh that had been afflicted with this terrible disease of leprosy, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Were it not for the little girl, whose name we don't even know, and these lowly servants, whose names we don't even know, this man would have gone back home and undoubtedly died from leprosy.
This is a great story. It's a true story. It's a historical story. But I think it's in our Bible not just to have a place mark in history. Here's what was going on in this time period. I think God expects there to be bridges from this story to our lives. And God expects us to see things in here that will help us, even on the Friday, that we need to think about. First of all, here's a girl who cared about somebody who had hurt her. That's powerful right there. Isn't that New Testament? Isn't that Jesus? Pray for your enemies. Do good to all people. Practice the golden rule. I mean, long before the New Testament is written, long before our Savior came to this earth, this girl understood that and is demonstrating that. How many times when someone is mean to us, we just want to cut them off. We have nothing to do with them. Here's a little girl, and the captain of the army that captured her, she cares about him. She cares about his personal well-being. She does not want anything bad to happen to him. She does not want him to die in his leprosy. That's something to think about.
You know, it reminds me of Jesus emphasizing to his disciples who had gotten a little too big for their britches, unless someone approaches the kingdom of God with the heart of a little child, he or she will not enter. You know, I can only speculate, but I find it fascinating that the narrator here in 2 Kings 5 rounds the story off by saying that Naaman's flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. I mean, this, you listen to how he was described in verse 1, a great man in high favor, mighty man of valor, but in many ways, he had to be humbled like a little child, and only then could he be healed. That sure does seem to be a principle in both the Old and the New Testaments that's worth thinking about today.
And then I think about her courage. You know, this is not home. This is not my people. And so for her to speak up, maybe she'd get slapped in the face. Maybe she'd be taken away in prison. Maybe she'd be executed. Who knows? These are not my people. I don't know how they're going to respond. But she speaks up to Naaman's wife and says, I think there's a way he can get better. And what courage that is. Once again, to our Friday today, the courage to speak up for Jesus. The courage to draw that line in the sand and say, you know, this is what's right. The courage to say, you know what? You don't have to a coworker go. You don't have to go spend a weekend drinking. There's a better way. Let me tell you about Jesus. Sometimes our fears keeps our mouths quiet. This girl spoke out.
Yeah, and I love your third C, the idea of conviction. It's one thing to have courage, right? To be willing just to speak up and say all sorts of things, but this was courage that was fueled by conviction about God and His will for our lives.
She knew that God would heal. And that's a lesson again we find in the New Testament. When the synagogue official in Mark 5 comes to Jesus, his little girl is dying. He begs Jesus to come because I know she will get well. And in the midst of that story, there's a woman with the issue of blood. And she says to herself, if I only touch him, I know I will get well. There's that conviction. I know God will forgive me. I know God will get me through this. I know God is there for me. Powerful statements. And how it's demonstrated from this. You know, I think about that wisdom passage that says, out of the mouth of babes. I mean, here's this mighty warrior, Naaman. He had many victories. In our world today, he'd have medals on his chest. He was mighty. He was a hero in the Syrian army. But it's a little girl that has this kind of faith and conviction that really changes the story here. And that again reminds us that sometimes we're faced with people that are mighty, people are greater than we are, more important than we are. But when we have the courage, the faith, and the conviction, we really care, we'll do what's right as God wants us to.
And we don't even know her name. That's really what this little four-part series will revolve all around. We've called it God's B Team, and that's not to say, of course, that this little girl was any less important than Naaman. Without her, without those unnamed servants, Naaman goes home a leper, right? But what I want to take away from this series as a valuable reminder, and I think what we want all of our listeners to take away is, all right, it's not about my name being up in lights. It's not about my name being recognized near and far. It's not about my name carrying clout miles and miles and miles away. Really, this is about if the Lord knows my name, that's what matters most. And I'm going to live for the sake of His name and just do what I can to have an impact for good in the world around me.
For most of us, we walk down a city sidewalk and no one even recognizes us. We're common people. That's the first people around Jesus. We're common people. Her name is forgotten to us because it's not revealed, but it's not forgotten by God. And that's what we need to realize and appreciate, that sometimes maybe we don't get the recognition. Maybe you send a card, maybe you gave some food, maybe the person you helped out didn't even say thank you. God knows, and heaven recognizes it. Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 10 to give a cup of cold water in His name to a disciple. That is remembered. And so we see the work of this little girl, what a great thing that is. You know, we oftentimes will come across lessons like this in our Bible, and it's not to tell us about the lives of these people, but it's to point us to God as the Bible's written. But wouldn't you love to know what happened to this little girl? Wouldn't you want to know that after Naaman came back home and he was cleansed, that maybe he gave this girl freedom, or maybe he elevated her to a higher position? We don't know the rest of the story. We don't know if she died in Syria, if she ever got to go back home to Israel. Those things are known only to heaven. But what God wants us to know is to look at this little girl, and in spite of her age, in spite of being a captive, being away from home, she did what was right.
Fascinating stories of forgotten people. Lord willing, we'll pick it back up next Friday. But Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope our time together has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.